The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Our friends at PodSwag.com have gotten an incredible promotion for you right now. When you purchase any of our glassware, such as pint glasses or La Greca pub glasses, you'll get 30% off. That's right, 30% off on all of our glassware, which is the lifeblood for all our daddy sodas and La Greca shit. So take advantage of this deal while you can, because supplies won't last. Once they're gone, they're gone. So the glassware that we have available at podswag.com/bustedopen, that's it. So when they're sold, you ain't going to see them again. So make sure you go to podswag.com/bustedopen. I am drinking currently out of my Busted Open Bully Ray glass.
Nice.
So I'm drinking out of that. So and then once the show is over, maybe even before the show is over, I have my Stone Cold Steve Austin's Broken Skull IPA, and I'll be drinking that out of my La Greca Daddy Soda pub glass. Make sure you get them right now at podswag.com/bustedopen and get 30% off.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, Thunder Rosa and I talk all about that post from CM Punk. That's right, the infamous Instagram post. Doesn't matter how long it was up, it's what everybody wants to talk about. We break it down right here on the Busted Open Podcast. Also, some unfortunate breaking news when it comes to your Impact World Champion, Josh Alexander. We break that and break it down right here on the Busted Open Podcast. Unfortunately, we have some breaking news from the world of Impact Wrestling. And, you know, Impact Wrestling, you watch every Thursday night. They have a big pay-per-view tonight called Sacrifice. The first ever Busted Open match is taking place tonight on Sacrifice. You can watch Sacrifice on Fight TV or Impact Plus. But just got word, and this is an exclusive, a Busted Open exclusive, breaking it here. Impact has informed Busted Open Thunder that Josh Alexander is out of action indefinitely. New world champion to be crowned April 16th at the Rebellion pay-per-view, Thunder. And the record-setting title run of Josh Alexander is officially over. And that's unfortunate because he has been one heck of a champion. He will have to relinquish the Impact Wrestling World Championship due to a triceps tear that will require surgery, Impact confirmed. Alexander became a two-time world champion at the 2022 Rebellion pay-per-view event in Poughkeepsie, New York, and is the longest reigning Impact World Champion in company history. Wow. With successful title defenses against Moose, Rich Swann, Alex Shelley, Frankie Kazarian, and Bully Ray, among us others. Josh Alexander is currently in Orlando, Florida, where Brad M. Horman will be performing a triceps tendon repair later today. Steve Macklin will replace Josh Alexander, the team, with Swann and Kazarian tonight at the sold-out Sacrifice Extravaganza in Windsor, Ontario, Canada, against Time Machine. It's Alex Shelley, Chris Sabin, and Kushida. Now, Thunder, on Sunday, April 16th, at the Rebellion pay-per-view in Toronto, Kushida and Steve Macklin will compete in a match to determine the new Impact Wrestling World Champion. Josh Alexander was originally scheduled to face Kushida at the Crow-branded Multiverse United, only the Strong Survive show, on Thursday, March 30th, from a sold-out Globe Theater in L.A. as part of WrestleCon. His replacement will be announced at a later date. And Sacrifice will stream live tonight, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern Time from St. Clair College in Windsor, Windsor, Ontario on Impact Plus, plus YouTube for Impact, Ultimate Insiders, and as always on Fight TV. Limited number of tickets remain for the Sacrifice Fallout show on Saturday, March 25th in Windsor, and tickets are available for Fallout at eventbrite.ca. We wish Josh a full and speedy recovery, and everyone at Impact Wrestling included, including our loyal fans, can't wait to see him back in the ring, said Impact Wrestling president Scott D'Amore. So pretty tough news in the world of Impact Wrestling. And again, this was, and thank you to Impact Wrestling. That's exclusive breaking news from the world of Impact Wrestling. Thunder, that the longest reigning Impact World Champion, Josh Alexander, is going to have to relinquish that Impact World Championship. And that's unfortunate. He has been doing a tremendous job, and unfortunately, a new Impact World Champion will be crowned. Thunder, I know you of all people understand what Josh Alexander is going through right now.
Yeah, and it's been, you know, it's so important that there's like open lines of communication and Impact by giving this news. It just left no question, right? And he deserves the best. He deserves a speedy recovery. To have like a recovery where he's focusing on himself and focusing on his mental health and his family and him getting better. And it's heartbreaking, right? Because he was going to do a big show, and I know how he's, as a competitor, how you feel when, you know, things are taken away because of health reasons. But he did an excellent job as a champion. He is definitely one of those talents that, you know, come once in a lifetime. He is incredible in the ring, and he's also an incredible human being. So I personally wish him a speedy recovery and to really enjoy the time that he has now to rebuild and redo him inside and out, which is so important.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate, too, because, listen, they have a show tonight, Sacrifice, and this isn't the only blow for Impact Wrestling, because you have Josh Alexander out now and is going to have to relinquish that Impact World Championship. And, you know, Impact also tweeted out yesterday that due to an injury, Mickie James will be unable to compete at Sacrifice tonight, and they're going to update and address the Knockouts world title situation tonight at Sacrifice. So this is a tough situation, unfortunately, for Impact Wrestling. You know, our very own Mickie James hosts with myself and Tommy Dreamer each and every Wednesday. And that last rodeo, that whole story, you know, that match where she won that Impact Knockouts Championship, I mean, just an incredible moment, not only for Impact, but for wrestling. And Josh Alexander has been a great champion. And it's got to be tough when you work your ass off to get to a point where you win that championship and then you have to relinquish that championship. It's tough. And best of luck to Josh Alexander. And, you know, listen, Steve Macklin and Kushida, two greats as well. And either one of those wrestlers will definitely be able to represent Impact Wrestling too. You know, I'll be tuning into Sacrifice tonight. I'm actually going to be hosting tomorrow here on Busted Open Thunder, a rare time where I'm hosting on a Saturday. I'm going to be doing the show with Denise Salcedo. And I'm definitely going to be talking about Sacrifice because tonight we're going to see the first ever Busted Open match between Bully and Tommy Dreamer. But it's unfortunate that I won't be able to see Josh Alexander or Mickie James on Sacrifice tonight.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate. And man, especially when you're a champion, because, you know, there's so many things that you have to give up because of health reasons, but it's the best thing to do, to like look after their health, because you only have one body and they can only get better by resting and taking care of their minds and souls and bodies. So,
well, you have to take care of yourself. And this is something that we've talked about a lot, Thunder. Like, and I learned this from, you know, working in the NFL. Not every injury is the same. Not every athlete is the same. you know, like, and especially in wrestling, it's just like football. Like, a shoulder injury for a quarterback is going to be a lot different for a shoulder injury for a tight end or a wide receiver or an offensive lineman, because it's different positions. And same thing in wrestling. Wrestling, as you know, Thunder, is built on styles. And not, you know, listen, so a certain wrestler has a certain style where wear an injury, you might be able to work through it. But you know what? Maybe there's a certain injury that another wrestler won't be able to. And nobody, and I mean nobody, has the right to tell an athlete about their body and their injury and when they dictate on when an athlete needs to come back. Health is the top priority. I think we should know that now in 2023. Health is of utmost importance. Wrestling in that ring is always going to be there. But if you come back too early, that could be the difference between being out for a year or never being able to come back and compete at all.
Yeah, and I can tell you from my personal experience with dealing with an injury and with AEW Medical, like, they have been very, very strict with me in terms of like, oh man, I feel great, I got no pain. And they're like, no, there's a protocol you got to follow. And this is something that I'm not used to, because in the indies, you just don't feel pain and then you just jump in. And now is like, it's been steps before I get back in the ring due to the injuries, because they don't want us to be like, okay, you have no pain and you think you might be ready, but your body's not ready. And the injury and the re-injury rate is so high. So I want to thank Dr. Samson definitely for like having my back all this time and the team, because they're like really forcing me to like push my body to do it the right way, to go and get a sports, you know, athlete's doctor and work with me on what I need to work on to return. And I know a lot of us that have been injured are going through the same thing. I saw a couple of us this Wednesday that we're trying to see where we are in terms of where we're coming back. And you know, it was hard for me, because I haven't been in the ring for 8 months. And for the first time I'm doing, you know, cardio and I was wrecked the next day, man, wrecked. I was like, Ron did a couple things and I'm like, wow. And they're like, yeah, we're gonna make sure that you do this and then have a program for me so that when I return completely 100% healthy. And as you mentioned, the NFL, a lot of people that get injured in the NFL, they take their time, because these people are worth millions of dollars. It's an investment for the company. We are investments for the company, so they have to make sure that we are at 100%, especially if we're going to be competing in very grueling matches, because those are the ones who usually have the highest percentage of injury for people. And even sometimes just doing the basic stuff, you can get injured. So, you know, the body is such a beautiful thing and an amazing thing, but it's also very delicate. And for what we do, and I've said this so many times, it's so, you know, dangerous to do what we do. And for people to maybe question, when did this person get hurt? Why did they get hurt? It can happen at any time. And the injury, you cannot notice until like a week or two later that something is wrong. That has happened to a lot of people, right? And that's what I was telling you, David. I'm going to about going back to love and respect. Like, you have to respect these people, you know, and you can't be making just certain, you know, things or saying certain things about them people, especially during injuries, because you don't know what happened. You don't know what they're going through. The person that is going through and their team knows what's going on, what really is going on. And it's very unfair that people blab about it and then just say things that are like unfunded. Like, it's ridiculous, because that's very traumatic for the athlete. We already have to go through so much just by being injured, by being at home, not being on TV, not being able to, like, you know, defend the title. And I know for Mr. Alexander, he's probably feeling really shitty because he doesn't have the opportunity to defend his title in such an important show. Because he's been doing it for so long. He's one of the longest reigning champions.
He's the longest Impact champion. So
yep. Just imagine how in his mind, how in his psyche, this is happening. This is something that he didn't ask for. It just happened. And it has happened to so many people. And we have to make that choice sometimes. Some people choose to have a last match injured, then go for it. And some people, they say you shouldn't have it. And they have the whole right to say, okay, I'm going to take some time off to take care of this. We are in the whole right because we are the ones that have, like you said, the power to say no because it's our own bodies. And it is very important that it's respected. It is respect. That decision needs to be respected. And if it's kayfabe, the company usually says it is kayfabe. So I think that's, like I said, I'm really happy that this came from Impact and they're letting the people know. I'm not happy about, you know, what's happening to Mr. Alexander because it's really crappy that he's not going to be able to defend the title due to injury. But he needs to do what he needs to do to take care of himself. And the same with Mickie James. I know everybody was really excited to see Mickie James wrestle, but she needs to take care of her body so she can come back healthier and better.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
We are full speed on the road to WrestleMania. This is Dave LaGreca, host of Busted Open, a SiriusXM podcast. Join me and the Busted Open team every day for the best pro wrestling talk on the planet. It's all leading up to WrestleMania in LA, where Busted Open will be coming to you live April 1st from the iconic Whiskey A Go-Go in Hollywood. To find out how you can join, stay tuned to Busted Open or on Twitter at Busted Open Radio. Download Busted Open every afternoon on the SXM app or wherever you get your podcasts. Back here on Busted Open, Dave LaGreca, Thunder Rosa. Now, Thunder, obviously the big topic, the trending topic in the world of pro wrestling right now is CM Punk. And again, shout out to Josh Alexander, who now has to relinquish that Impact World Heavyweight Championship. We broke that earlier on in the show. And again, sacrifice tonight, Impact Wrestling sacrifice. First ever Busted Open match tonight on Sacrifice as well. But this was... CM Punk posted this yesterday, Thunder, yesterday evening, and this post was up for about, I don't know, 30 seconds before it was deleted. Some people say 15, some people say 45, some people say 30. It was under a minute. So it was very, very short time, but that's enough time where people screen grabbed it, screenshot, all that other stuff, and it was all over social media yesterday evening and last night. And I'm going to read CM Punk's Instagram post to you right now.
Okay.
So for those who haven't read it, here we go. Sigh. I wasn't cleared to come back to wrestle yet. The plan was to wrestle at the pay-per-view. I sat and listened to Moxley's Rocky III idea. I explained how I've never seen a Rocky movie. I and thought the idea sucked, but if the boss wanted to do it, whatever. He said he wouldn't lose to me. I'd never experienced someone refusing to lose to me. I just laughed. I asked Tony if this was what he wanted. He said, yes. He's the boss, so I said, okay, but I need to be cleared first. They kept saying it could just be a squash, so I didn't need to be cleared. I scoffed at that. My health is more important. Dave Meltzer is a liar. Jericho is a liar and a stooge. There were plans, but plans always change. But I'll never put a company above my health ever again. And again, he put that out there. And then roughly 30 seconds later, he deleted it. Whew. I mean, there's a lot here. I don't know CM Punk. I've interviewed CM Punk twice in my career. Once when he was with the WWE, and then again when he first came back with AEW. When I interviewed CM Punk when he was with the WWE, I interviewed him on Radio Row at WrestleMania 29, right before his match with The Undertaker. And I got to tell you, I walked away from that interview a little bit bewildered. He didn't seem to really be excited about stepping into the ring with The Undertaker, which I wasn't expecting that type of reaction, because around that time, and I'm sure most fans remember, the match with The Undertaker was even bigger than the main event or whatever world championship match was happening at that time. To be in the ring with The Undertaker, at least to fans, that's got to be one of the biggest honors. He didn't, I was excited about it, and he didn't seem to be too excited about it. He actually made a comment about, you do know that this is pro wrestling and it's predetermined. And that kind of threw me off when he said that to me. But then I learned later on that, and with everything that happened in the world of the WWE, that at that point in his career with the WWE, he had hit a wall. He was overworked. He was hurt. He was injured. And probably physically and mentally shouldn't be stepping into the ring. So I go back and I look at that interview in a completely different way than when I actually did that interview at WrestleMania, before WrestleMania 29 in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Then I interviewed him, you know, right after he came back, Thunder. And man, I got to tell you, what a completely different person. And I saw a CM Punk that was rejuvenated, a CM Punk that was excited, a CM Punk that was in love with pro wrestling again. And I'll even take it a step further, Thunder. Everybody talks about the media scrum this past September at All Out. But I go back to last year in the media scrum right after Revolution and the dog collar match that he had with MJF. And when he was addressing the media in that scrum, he cried. And he cried because I looked at a man that had fallen back in love with pro wrestling and was really proud not only of the match that he had with MJF in that dog collar match, which was, to me, a classic, but I think he felt like he was accepted again. I think he felt like he was rejected by the WWE. And now he felt like, at least from the outside looking in, he felt like he was home, and he found a home that he could fall in love and appreciate pro wrestling one more time. And man, now after what we saw at the media scrum, and now after reading this Instagram post, I feel like not only are we back to the way he felt when he was with the WWE, but even worse. So again, I don't know the man, but I do know one man, and that's Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho is somebody that I've interviewed countless times here on this show. Chris Jericho is somebody that I have talked to and hung out with outside of the world of pro wrestling. Chris Jericho is somebody that has put this show over to the moon, and somebody who has put the show over to the moon even before it hit the mainstream and got really popular. Chris Jericho has always been an advocate of this show and of me. Now, I'm not saying who's right and wrong in this situation, but Chris Jericho has always done right by me and has always done right by this show. If Chris Jericho is this person that CM Punk is describing, I don't know that person. And I have had interactions with Chris Jericho dozens upon dozens upon dozens of times. And again, I'm not saying that I know the man that personal, where, you know, but I don't see the man that CM Punk is talking about. I'm kind of torn here. And I'm just talking about from the outside looking in. You had the situation that he had in the WWE where I think a lot of fans took CM Punk's side. Then you had the media scrum in Chicago where right after a pay-per-view and right after MJF has made his return, that was completely thrown out the window and lost because of the things that he had to say in that media scrum. And still, I was on Punk's side and wanted Punk to come back. And now this Instagram post, it's a lot. And you know what? I'm still a CM Punk fan. I still want CM Punk back in the ring. I don't know him on a personal level, but I know what I know as him as a wrestler. He's good for business. He's good for AEW in the ring. But outside the ring, I don't know anymore. And Tony Khan has got a big weight on his shoulder and his back. And he's probably going to have to make a decision sooner rather than later.
Well, we'll have to see at that point. I mean, like I said, we can continue to speculate, say, you know, he said, she said, she said, all that stuff. But at the end of the day, there's the people that are, you know, involved in this situation who know the truth, the real truth. And everybody has a different perspective of things. So, I don't know.
It's going to be interesting because the calls are coming in now, Thunder. Like, the calls are coming in at 877-344-4893, 877-FIGHT93. I can see already that we have a full bank of phone calls that want to talk about CM Punk, Thunder. And, you know, Thunder, CM Punk is a lightning rod. You know, he's going to garner attention, whether it's positive or negative. And, you know, is that good for wrestling? Is that bad for wrestling? I don't know. And, you know, listen, AEW is still a young company. AEW is still going through growing pains. And we've seen this with sports teams, with championship teams. You know, we've seen the New York Yankees and the LA Lakers where the players on the roster didn't get along, but they had the common goal of getting on that field and winning championships, which those teams were able to do. We've seen a dysfunctional baseball team like the 86 Mets go on that field and win a World Series. But we've also seen where there's one player, just one, that could step into a locker room and completely throw off the entire team. We've seen where there's been a championship team laid out in front of you where one person could throw and derail that team. And we've seen that countless times in sports. So is this a situation where everyone in AEW could get on the same page, even though there's going to be people that don't get along, even though there could be fractures in that locker room? Can they get together for the common cause, for the good of the company? Or is it so fractured that changes need to be made? And ultimately, Thunder, there's only one man that can make that decision, and that's Tony Khan. Tony Khan is the head coach, general manager, owner of this situation. He's going to have to figure out right now, because unfortunately, we have a Rampage show tonight, right? Rampage is on tonight. What are more people talking about? Rampage or CM Punk? It's CM Punk. Are more people talking about the upcoming pay-per-view or CM Punk? No, they're talking about CM Punk. So it's going to be very, very interesting what's going to happen here.
David, what is pretty clear is that CM Punk is the most polarizing figure in professional wrestling now, no matter what he does, always. WWE, ROH, everywhere he stepped in, he's very polarizing, you know? And I don't know. I'm just curious to see how people feel. How do they feel about what's going on?
Yeah, you know what? And listen, there's an open invitation. CM Punk is listening, call in. Chris Jericho's listening, call in. John Moxley's listening, call in. But I understand, you know, the situation that they're all in and being under that roof of AEW, and it's going to be interesting what the next things happen. And sometimes, you know, you have to make decisions that are best for the company and not best for the individual wrestlers.
I'm Jake Mintz.
And I'm Jordan Schusterman, and we are the hosts of Baseball Barbacast.
There are 30 teams in Major League Baseball, and thankfully Jordan and I are going to tell you about every single one of them.
Someone has to do it, and that's going to be us. Season preview season is here, and we're going 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And you can download the Baseball Barbacast on the SXM app, available with all of our trials and popular plans, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. That's BARBcast.
So, Justin, what do you want to talk about? Because there is a lot to get into here on a Friday with you, buddy.
You're the host. You tell me where you want me to go.
I mean, okay, Justin, there has been, our fans have had really strong opinions about some of the stuff that happened. You know, it came to surface yesterday with, you know, CM Punk. You can talk about that. You can talk about, you know, your WrestleMania predictions.
Let's do both.
Okay.
You know what? Let's do both. Yeah, why not? We just talked. By the way, Thunder, really quick, since we talked about your figures, how can people buy your figures? Where is the best place to find your figures?
Ringside Collectibles, okay. I think. Yeah, okay. There. Or you can go on a hunt on Walmart or Target. Like, I cannot find them in San Antonio. At some places, it's a lot easier to find them in Walmart. You can also... pre-order them. A lot of them are for pre-order too. So,
all right.
And then you can watch me like actually opening one of the figures and talk about my figure on my YouTube channel, where I have like really cool content, Justin, you know.
I'll check it out.
On my YouTube.
Yeah, I do. I'm a subscriber. I've subscribed to it. So I get first dibs when a new video comes out. All right, Justin, let's dive in. Let's start with CM Punk, because that's what we've been talking about the most here on a Friday morning. You know, it's crazy. There was the media scrum at All Out in September, where he called out the EVPs, called out Colt Cabana, called out the Bucks, called out Hangman Page, did it in front of Tony Khan, and kind of threw his own pipe bomb right after a pay-per-view, which was a great pay-per-view in Chicago, and kind of spoiled the return of MJF. AEW was able to recover from that. And it also feels like CM Punk in a lot of ways was able to recover from that. Justin, here on Busted Open, we've been talking about we want the return of CM Punk. That's what's the best for business. And then that Instagram post from yesterday evening. Now, it was deleted about 30 seconds after he posted it. But, man, that Instagram post said a lot. It talked about them wanting him to come back and wrestle in a match before he's cleared, calls out Chris Jericho, calls out Jon Moxley. I mean, those are big names. Those are big names, not only in the world of AEW, but legendary names in the world of pro wrestling. And I got to tell you, it seems like the goodwill that Punk has been able to build over the last couple months has kind of been evaporated with that one post that was up for roughly 30 seconds. I mean, Justin, I mean, where do you go from here when it comes to CM Punk?
I don't think you bring him back. I mean, you just mentioned what goodwill did he build up in the last few months? What? I mean, it was there. I mean, I know I said this last week, I think joking with Thunder, about me being gone, and I said absence makes the heart grow fonder, and I was joking with her. But I don't know if the absence of CM Punk makes the heart grow fonder for him. Like, talented guy, polarizing guy, has a following, right? You know, if 50 years from now, should still be remembered in the wrestling business because he did have an impact on it. He did have contribution to it. But you know, you go back to that, to the brawl out that's been kind of dubbed. And you know, you say AEW recovered from it, moved on. Well, yeah, I mean, they moved on. The company's still standing. I mean, they didn't go out, they didn't close their doors that night, but it doesn't ever erase that they had you have a sold out house. You have a really good card. You have important things going on. You have several dozen other men and women who put their bodies on the line to go out and do their job to form for that sold out house and for hundreds of thousands of others at home. Nobody talks about or hardly remembers what happened on that show, because that show is forever branded with the drama that unfolded and the press conference, and then what we didn't see, but we all have it in our imagination of trying to play out what happened in that locker room scrum. And you know, like, I mean, pro wrestling is, especially internally, pro wrestling is so built on trust. You know, there can be egos, there can be, you know, a lot of things that just make competition good, right? But you got to have trust. I mean, because you are relying on each other, and yep. I don't feel like, I mean, I can't speak for any of the participants involved, and obviously I was not there, as none of us were there in that actual, you know, locker room scrum, but I don't feel like there's a trust, and I don't know if that trust can be regained. And certainly, whether it's for 30 seconds or for 30 minutes, the post that he put up yesterday, that doesn't help any bit of trust. You know, so I just don't see, you know, I just don't see, you're talking about bringing one person back, or you're talking about then jeopardizing the trust and feelings of many other people, more than one. And I just don't think the trade-off's worth it. I don't think AEW long term is better off for it. He left WWE in a very controversial status. Did yep. WWE probably have some missteps? Probably. But there's a way to and to not do things, or a way to and to not say things. And he made his choices there. And then he comes to AEW. And I mean, I guess it's been long. I mean, look, I'll say this. It when he came in, what would have been now? I guess that would have been what, summer of 2021. I had a conversation, a private conversation with somebody in the wrestling business, and we joked and we just kind of said, you know, like I this could be really good for AEW, right? Or a comment that was made in that conversation was, how long could it take for him to cause a stir, essentially. I'm paraphrasing. And it turns out it took about a year.
Yeah.
For a stir to boil over. I don't think he's worth it. I don't think it's worth it. And again, I'm not saying to his, you know, maybe AEW had some missteps. I don't know. But again, you don't go on a press conference and do that. You don't. And I don't think it's worth it. I don't think if I'm AEW, I don't bring him back. It's not worth it. It's he's not going to come back and all of a sudden add 3 million viewers. He's not going to come back and all of a sudden flip and change business so drastically that you have to then tolerate the results internally and behind the scenes. It's just not. He is not. He's that one person is not bigger. So if I'm a betting man, or if I'm a logical man, or if Tony Khan ever wanted to call me and ask my opinion, which he doesn't ever have to do, I would just say it's not worth bringing him back. My opinion.
And I think honestly, Justin, there's a lot of people, at least the people that we spoke to so far this morning, because we've had wall to wall calls this morning. Everybody pretty much agrees with you. The fact that, like, all right, if this was an isolated incident, all right, then you know what? We're going to have to dive in and look. But you mentioned about what happened at All Out immediately after a pay-per-view, when he's saying that with the world championship on the table in front of that microphone as he's addressing, you know, the pro wrestling media right after that pay-per-view. Like you said, it kind of erases everything that happened on that show. And, you know, is what he was saying right? Maybe it was. But is that the right forum to do that in? And then did what he's saying at Instagram post, is that right? I don't know. But again, you're doing it in a public forum. So then it brings up that, all right, is one person wrong? Is two people wrong? Three people wrong? Four people wrong? Because over the course of the last 6 months, he's called out the Bucks. He's called out Hangman Page. He's called out Cole Cabana. He's called out John Moxley. He's called out Chris Jericho. Like, that's kind of like the who's who in AEW, Justin. Like, you know,
real quick. And again, I know we're revisiting now something that's 6-7 months old, but it's because of this post. It's all resurfaced. The calling out of Cole Cabana. Like, it's one thing you're going to call out the Bucks and everybody else, and they all have an option. They all potentially have an opportunity then to take a microphone in that evening because they're there.
Yes.
But you're calling out, taking shots at a guy and his mother who is not even there, who has no opportunity to defend himself and wasn't even asked about. Like you had that locked in the chamber ready to that one just, I'm laughing because it's so asinine. That one always gets me. Go ahead, sorry.
But again, like, I always try to look at the other side, because it's not fair just to look at one side. Maybe there has been things going on with Punk where he tried to, you know, go to the proper channels. It wasn't being heard, and he felt like maybe the only way it can be heard is by going public. I mean, that's the only thing I can say in defense of CM Punk. And honestly, I'm not saying it's grasping at straws, because that wouldn't be fair, but it just, like you said, Justin, it doesn't look good, because he had the same issues with the WWE. Like, he blew up the bridge with the WWE, and now it feels like he's burning down the bridge with AEW. Go ahead, Thunder.
Well, I just want to say that it's really good that you're bringing those two perspectives on this situation, because I feel like a lot of people just focus on one thing and just like, Like Justin is saying, oh, I don't feel like they should bring him back for X, Y, and Z. But maybe that situation, again, might be different that he was in WWE. And that's one of the things that I respect about you, David, is that you're able to, like, see things in such a broader perspective. Because in everything and every issue that has happened, there is two stories, right? And once some people will talk, some people will choose not to talk. So it's up to everyone to decide if they're going to give him a chance. But just to respond to Justin, what if they decide to bring him back? Like, what do you think the response is going to be? I mean, it's definitely, it might be negative all around, or it might be like, you know, people like we say in some places in Latin America, bochinche, they like the chisme, they like the clicks, the clickbait, because it gets them talking. And like, how do you think people are going to take him back? And how, like, talking about money, ratings, how is this going to happen when he comes back, and if he comes back?
Well, let me tell you this. If Tony Khan tweeted right now, tune in next Wednesday to Dynamite, the return of CM Punk, oh, people are tuning in. And when his music hits and he comes out, that crowd, wherever you guys are next Wednesday, is gonna pop. Despite whatever the majority of the calls today have been, people are going to pop. Wrestling fans are still going to react in the moment to the excitement and the thrill, even if that excitement and thrill is, oh my God, is Punk going to come out here? Are the Young Bucks going to storm out here? Are we going to see a real fight? Fans are just going to get excited for their own personal interest. You know, it's so funny how sometimes fans can separate the feelings on Twitter and then can totally change when they're in the moment there. You want perfect proof of that? Look at the final appearances of Vince McMahon. Vince was under all the scrutiny and all the whatever, and Al Vince is killing the booking, and Al Vince is, hush money for this and that. But yet still, when he came out those last few times on WWE programming, which it didn't make any sense, you still saw people doing this, doing the bowing, whatever. I mean, it's like people were just triggered to react that way because they heard his music, and that's what they always did for so many years. So to your question, if Tony brought Punk back, it would certainly grab attention. It would certainly pop a number for a week or two or maybe longer, but I would worry, what added stress are you now dealing with behind the scenes on top of producing all the content that you have to produce? So, I mean, if it was me, I would be done with it. I would just continue to move on. You have a large roster between AEW and ROH. You have a lot of talent off of the world. You have a lot of talent to develop and what have you, and position and places. It's not worth, you know, it's not worth the risk and the headache.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. To answer your question too, Thunder, if they decide to keep Punk, then there's got to be some kind of sit down meeting, and there's got to be like a closed door meeting with everyone involved saying, all right, guys, we got to get on the same page. But you know what? If it's not true, then I could say, like, you know, now you have to go to everyone individually and be like, are you okay with this? Are you able to forgive this? You know, in this situation, it's not just Moxley and Jericho that were called out. Tony Khan, in essence, was called out too. He's talking about that they want him to come back for a match when he's not medically cleared. Wow. I mean, that's an indictment that's very close to what Punk said in the WWE when he said about being misdiagnosed by the WWE physician. Like, that's going, like, that's not just not getting along with somebody or name calling somebody. That's now saying, man, they wanted me to step into the ring when I wasn't medically clear. That's a huge indictment that probably needs to be addressed. If I'm Tony Khan, I probably need to address that.
I agree, and that's the other thing, the other factor, the Tony Khan factor that I think that is important to bring up. Going back to the press conference thing, it's not like Punk was just at a table with a live mic and just went off on his rant, and Tony was on the other side of the building handling, you know, 1,000 other things. Punk had the audacity to do this with his boss sitting 3 feet from him. Now I'm not gonna say, because I can't put myself in the shoes of Tony Khan in that moment. I can only imagine what Tony was thinking or feeling. In hindsight, I think we all agree. In hindsight, I think we all could agree. If we were Tony Khan, lean over and grab that mic and say, "Okay, guys, we're done with this one," and bring the next wrestler. But that is not fair to say, because I can only imagine the shock and whatever of going on in that. But the fact that Punk, that's the audacity that he's doing all that right there, not even looking straight at his boss, continuing to look at the media and cut his promo with his boss sitting right there. I mean, that's just a, I don't even have the words for how insane that is, how disrespectful, how brazen that is. And it goes and it carries right over to this Instagram post. Again, I don't care if it was up for 30 seconds and then he deleted it. And that, and I was that by design? It took him more than 30 seconds to write that. So he had plenty of time to think, do I want to post this? But he posted it and then he took it away. It's the whole thing is just, it's just shady. It just doesn't, just distance yourself from it. Just distance yourself from it.
I guess like it could happen where you have a team that works with you and they were not aware of that, what's happening. And as soon as they saw it, they're like, hey, you got to take that down before it's too late. But again, like I was saying, and I'm going to go back to what I was saying earlier, is like when we make certain choices, you know, we know that there, every choice that you made and the freedom that we have is going to have consequences. Everything we do, regardless if we think that's the right thing to do, it might be bad for, in the eyes of others or vice versa. So I think in this case, on some of the actions that, you know, some people have taken to make their point across, it really had serious repercussions, not only on themselves, but in a group of people that are surrounded them, because everybody was involved or who was involved in this situation. So it is a very delicate subject. And I think it just talks about like many different things in different companies. And I think, well, like you said, people are upset because there are some similarities to what happened in the past. But at the end of the day, again, we're going back to like love and respect, and how far we're going to take things to make things work. Right. So I think we need to see that too.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Catch the full 3 hours of Busted Open Monday through Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Foundation, channel 156. Go to SiriusXM.com/BustedOpenTrial to start your free trial today.
SiriusXM Podcasts.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.